That's what I'm talking about. Our hearts lifted, and that's one of the things I want us to do as we go through this whole notion, this whole issue of suffering well. We can rejoice, and that's one of the things we're told to do, to rejoice in our suffering. We can do it. We just have to allow ourselves to be strengthened and empowered by the Spirit of God to rejoice in our suffering. And that doesn't mean we're going to only rejoice. That doesn't mean we will always rejoice in every instance of suffering. I like the fact that the Apostle Paul was so real as he talked about some of the different emotions that he experienced, some of the different thought processes that he went through as he suffered. And he wasn't always rejoicing. Oh, but we can get to the point where we do rejoice. And I just want to pray briefly for the people who persecute God's people. And I want to ask God to help you see that there is a much, much better way to live, a much, much better way for you to conduct the life that you've been blessed with. And so, Father, I do ask you to do that for those who have been persecuting your people. Help them begin to realize that they can open their eyes, they can open their minds, they can open their hearts to a different way of responding to you, and as a result, a different way of responding to your people who love you. Set them free from the darkness and the madness that has them on such a destructive course, and especially a course that is so self-destructive. One that will lead to their own demise if they don't allow you to turn them around, if they don't change, if they don't repent. Lord Jesus, help them. Help them hear your voice telling them to change, and help them, give them the strength they need to obey you, to follow your lead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Now, back to those of us who have already committed our lives to God, I want to share with you what I consider to be one of the most monumental passages of Scripture in the Bible. Not the most, but certainly one of the most monumental, one of the most significant passages of Scripture, one of the most significant discussions that the Lord Jesus had with his disciples, those who were following him, those who were learning about his teachings and watching how he conducted his life so that they could learn to be like him. One of the most significant conversations he had with them as he talked with them about their ministry, being sent out to minister, and how harried the experience would become. One of the things he said to them, and I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 10, and please remember, in fact, I was going to start at one verse, one particular verse, but I'm going to start at the very beginning of that chapter, just so that you will know this is a conversation that he was having with his disciples. He was talking with people who were already converted, who were learning how to follow his lead in the way they conducted their lives on this earth. He was not talking to people who followed a totally different religion. These were people who were following him literally as he went from place to place to place, learning his teachings so that they could obey his teachings and so that they could then model him for other people. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He called his 12 disciples, his 12 disciples to him. We know that of those 12 disciples to whom the scriptures refer, only one of those 12 was not genuine. Only one of those 12 was not faithful. All the other 11 were faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Peter, John, James, Matthew, the rest, they were all faithful followers of Jesus. So he's not talking, this is not a situation wherein we're talking about the many, many, many disciples who followed, but not all followed him all the way. Some left him for one reason or another. We're talking about the 12. And of those 12, only Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus for some money, was unfaithful to him. All the others were faithful to him. These are the people to whom he's speaking in Matthew chapter 10. The entire chapter is a discussion that he's having with the 12. He called his disciples, his 12 disciples, to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 2, these are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. And ladies and gentlemen, when you get a chance to read it, it's so important. I want you to read it. We have those first four verses and the first part of the fifth verse telling us who Jesus was addressing and who he was sending out. Told us these 12 disciples and then called them by name so that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt exactly who he was talking to. Verse 5 begins, these 12, after giving their names and telling us about the one and the only one of the 12 who would betray him. Peter disowned him, but repented and was brought back into the fold. Judas Iscariot betrayed him and then took his own life. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. And ladies and gentlemen, after the scripture says, and these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, it starts out, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. That was a temporary situation, because before it was all over, he was going to make sure that they understood they would take that gospel everywhere, the entire world, his people. Even if not all of these 12 did so before it was all over. In fact, Peter himself was sent to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. So again, this was temporary as far as who they were going to. But he shared with them some principles. When it says these 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions, that begins at the second part of the fifth verse of Matthew chapter 10. And the instructions continue through the end of that chapter, which ends with verse 42. All of those are instructions to the 12 disciples. And you know what? In order to make sure that we really get this, instead of reading about four verses out of this chapter that I was planning to read, I'm going to do you a great service, and this is what I consider it to be, a great service by reading the entire chapter to you. There are going to be certain principles that are timeless. They apply to all of God's people everywhere in the world for all time. I want you to see this. And so I'm going to read the entire chapter to you. I don't want you to miss any of this. I'll be right back.